Houston's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audio Visual Consultations.
AM 1260. See where we're going here? We're kind of feeling like a little flow. You feel the flow? No? You don't feel the flow? Turn it up, Sam! Don't feel it! Don't feel it! Yeah! Hour number three! We're still here, baby. 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com, where we scream on the radio airwaves. But hopefully we don't do it right into the microphone. We like to have a lot of fun here. We treat this place like a bar, but we don't have any booze. That's the problem. Maybe we need booze.
I know where to find some.
What?
Right now? Don't threaten us with a good time.
Are we doing show shots for real?
Show shots, absolutely. Power hour. Wait, get us on the air. Bring us back on the air and then go bring the beer in here. That's what we need to do. I mean, why not? It's 2021.
Y'all could get plastered. I'm good.
Sacramento wine. Hour number three. Got some more playoff talk here. Big thank you to Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas, coming on and giving us all the lowdown on the 40 acres. A lot going on there.
A lot.
Big name marquees in town to have official visits there for the University of Texas football team, but they also got treated to a really good baseball game at the Dish as well. So
one thing that stuck out to me about what Wells was saying, he talked about the one player from Dallas who told Wells that, yo, this, you know, UT's my vibe. And, you know, Jay Wells said that he was in Norman and in Tuscaloosa. And you got to think, even though those schools have done better than Texas in football, clearly, in the last decade or so, that certain guys from the inner city understand with name, image, and likeness coming about that they could do more in certain cities and situations than they could in
marketing.
Maybe in a Norman, Oklahoma, or a Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though those
but
are
you
big
can do
markets,
with your name in Austin.
Yeah, like Nick Saban is the market in Bama.
Like, true.
Tua was the closest thing. Like, even Devontae Smith didn't get as much love as you would think.
Well, wide receiver versus quarterback.
True.
Yeah.
True that. And Mac Jones got love, but at the end of the day,
not Tua love.
It's Saban. Like, you
see,
know.
See, now I'm going to ask you a question. Is it Saban or is it Sarks?
Saban.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'm talking about the attraction. We all know that Saban, it's Saban's mantra, it's Saban's program. But I mean, Sarkisian had a little bit of success, a little bit of reasoning for
yeah,
that success
but I,
as well.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing there. Like
the hype and the hoopla. No, I get you.
Yeah, like, for instance, Sarkisian, it's going to take him a while for him to establish.
Like when, like, you, man, when you hear like Alabama. It's coming though already, doesn't it?
Yeah, but like when you hear Alabama, you think Nick Saban.
100%.
You know, when you hear University of Texas.
I guess the
Texas
only reason
football,
why I'm questioning is because of Nick Saban's old age. I'm wondering if maybe there was a young protege underneath of Nick Saban that was actually having a better communication or relationship with the students or with the athletes.
Yeah, and I think it just gets like that with the more rings you get. Like Krzyzewski,
true. No, that's true.
I know you don't want to hear this name, but Krzyzewski has that too. Like there isn't a Duke player. Like Kyrie is the closest thing to like, or Zion. Zion was probably the closest thing we've seen as to like crazy marketing ability. But basketball's different than football. Like, you don't see the helmet. You see the guy's face. Like, you get the market different in basketball.
No, but even with all this, but to your point, even with all the superstars coming out of Duke, you know, Zion's really the only one that was just
Yeah, he changed the game, like, in a way. He changed the game in a way. But another example.
Because Duke never really does the one and done.
No.
They usually get the program. No. The program shooters or you know, people that buy into Krzyzewski's program.
But you still think Krzyzewski when you
That's
hear
it.
Duke.
It's
when I hear Longhorn football, I don't necessarily think Mack Brown. I think Vince Young.
100.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we think Vince Young and think about like Vince, he's been, you know, making a name for his like image and likeness.
Bro, I was joking
here on
completely.
The 40 acres.
I was joking completely.
Yeah, Sam's out here with the brew. Good grief.
What is that?
It's whiskey.
Oh, wow.
I can't drink whiskey on air.
Anyways, y'all are wildin'. Anyway, I don't know if that's great producing or what. But VY, yeah, that's where we are. Vince Young, like that's who you think of when you think of Texas football in a way. Obviously, certain people think of Mack Brown, yes. But when I think of Oklahoma, like I don't think of Baker when I think of OU.
Who do you think of when you
I don't know. They don't have that. And maybe I'm just a product of my environment.
I think of Riley, bro. I think of Lincoln Riley.
See, I'm starting to think of Lincoln Riley now. You're right. I'm starting to think of Lincoln Riley and the fact that he's a quarterback guru. Which
who's
got help?
Who's
Baker.
Gotten three Heisman Trophy? Or he, you know,
yeah,
he's gotten
finalists.
Yeah, there you go. That's a better two Heisman Trophy winners and a finalist.
And a finalist, yes. So either way, somebody's always going to New York on that quarter. Like if you're a quarterback, hey, you want to go to New York?
He is the QB whisperer.
Yeah, if I was a quarterback and I'm Lincoln Riley, hey, you trying to go to New York, bro?
Come here.
Like Spencer Rattler, they already got his plane ticket ready.
I hate that dude. I can't stand him.
Yeah, he rubs me the wrong way.
You know
way.
Why? It's because I watched him in that ESPN or the Netflix episode.
He's kind of a douche, huh?
Can
we say that, Sammy?
Oh, not a nice guy. He is not a nice guy.
Yeah.
He would not be on my team.
Yeah, and obviously people
can
change.
His game's got to be really good if he's on your team. You know what I mean? Like, and you're right. People can change.
People can change and people can mature.
He don't look like a leader, though.
Yeah, that rubbed me the wrong way, too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Last chance. It wasn't last chance you.
I think it was just like one of those QB 11. Like, we're
QB
gonna
elite.
Take you. We're going to take you in like the
QB
day
one.
Of lives.
Thank you. QB1.
QB1, yeah. We're going to take you the day in the lives of these quarterback hopefuls that are high recruiting prospects. But
he is a diva.
But like, let me obviously get back to my original point. The image, name, and likeness here in the ATX, like you won't be in Sark's shadow. You
right.
know what I'm saying? I like as much
as
you
Because it's
big
enough for you to shine.
Yeah, it's big enough for you to shine. Like you got the whole state. And if you're from the inner city, like he was talking about my vibe, like the city of Austin gives you a little bit of a small town vibe. And it gives you a little bit of a big city vibe.
For sure. You come in, you see the skyline, right?
Yeah.
And then you come in and, it's got an intimate feel to this.
Yeah, it gives you just enough of both.
It is.
It's
a perfect balance. It's a really good balance.
That's why it's one of the greatest cities ever.
We don't need any more people moving here, though.
Besides it being way too expensive to live here, other than that, it's great. But Yeah, I think that really stood out for me when Jay Wells said that like a recruit told him, like, yo, this is my type of vibe, and that recruit's been to Alabama and Oklahoma. That says a lot.
See, and I don't know what it is for me, though. Like, we talk about Tuscaloosa, right, and it's obviously it is statues of Saban, of Saban, right?
Yeah.
Like, it will always be statues of Saban. And maybe Saban does have that just rapport to where, or that stigma to where, no matter, kind of like Coach K, like Krzyzewski, right, to where no matter how much of the athlete or the talent that comes here, it will always be known as Saban's program. You know what I mean? Even though you have, you know, geniuses, gurus like Sarkisian within your program as well, on your staff, you know, you think, who clearly Sarkisian is relating to the kids a little bit more than Saban, but Saban's selling point is, I'll get you to the NFL.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, it's that easy. Like, I'll get you to the NFL, but there's no distractions here.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You come
like
here, you're going to play, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that those small college towns have that we don't here in, like, the big city. You could just say, look, you could really just focus on Oklahoma football and Alabama football because there ain't jack spit to do in those cities.
Right.
Besides focus on your athletics. So I think name, image, and likeness is going to be a plus for Texas players. I do. I think they'll be able, especially when you go back, especially if you're from the state, if you could go back into whatever town you're from and, you know, show people that, hey, y'all could come here too. You know, y'all could come to the flagship university and succeed because I'm doing it. Now, give me some
money. A little money in your pocket.
Give me some money for this car wash that I'm about to host here.
No, I'm with you. I don't know. I guess to me it feels like, especially after yesterday, and maybe I am a prisoner of the moment at, you know, just with this, but it feels like Sarkisian's got that vibe. It feels like he's got that pull. It feels like he's not at Saban level, but it feels like a lot of, and maybe this is directly off of my observation, okay? It feels like Sarkisian is bringing a lot of that Alabama mantra to Texas, and people are feeling like, people might be feeling like it's already here at Texas. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Like, yeah, I know,
like,
what you mean.
I feel like that pizzazz, that light.
Yeah, he's bringing his style in, and you're already seeing his style being implemented.
I'm not trying to speak
campus
badly about the former regime that was here, but it feels like that funk is kind of getting out of them. You know what I mean? Like that haze over top of the 40 acres. It's,
yeah,
kind of moving
we
out.
Saw
we got that sunshine coming
we
in.
Saw it in both major sports here, basketball and football. It was getting very stale, and the writing was on the wall that the players coming in, even though they were highly recruited, why aren't we getting the best out of these players?
Why aren't we producing? Exactly.
Like, how are we getting these really good recruiting classes coming in?
And with no growth.
Yeah. And some of these players are getting worse. You know, like, that those things shouldn't be happening when you have the resources that you have down here at the 40 acres. Like, that just, it just can't happen.
And I'll be the first one. Like, I was very reluctant when we hired Sarkisian, right? I'm just like, okay, another coach is higher.
Because of the record too, right?
Not just that, but it's almost like, it's almost like if you remove something from your everyday life and try and replace it, you're still going to be in regression because you still got to catch up with that. You know what I mean? So to take, even though Herman's program just wasn't working, it's Herman's philosophy just wasn't working. Maybe we just weren't as smart as him. I don't get it. Mensa. Anyways, to me, when you remove something and you get another coach in, remove a coach and you get another coach in, now you're kind of in a regression state because you got to bring all that coach's personnel in. Now that coach has to get
you know, his right pieces in. He's got to get his guys, his quarterback. You see that a lot in sports, and it starts to take the program down a little bit. I don't think we're feeling that with Sarkisian because he's buying into the players, not just his program. He is going to shape and mold the program around his personnel, whereas it felt like Herman was just so adamant on making his program stick in here. He took the personnel and tried to implement them into his system, and it just didn't work. Basically, you tried to build something around Sam. Sam was a Superman that could do what you wanted to do in your power spread, and it just didn't work well for me.
Well, yeah, Bijan Robinson is one of the best running backs in the nation, and we got him splitting reps. Like, right there, things like that don't make sense. Going to the basketball end, Jay Wells, you remember how we all thought Greg Brown was going to be, how good he was supposed to be. He comes to the 40 Acres. We didn't really see the best of Greg Brown consistently the whole year. So, you know, things had to change.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? That whoever talking about on the Spectacle line saying that we're delusional.
What are we delusional about?
To what? Things need to change. Obviously, we haven't seen a game being played yet, but you can't say things aren't positively different now than the two other coaches.
How do you not feel that? Like, how can you?
Yeah, and that's what we're saying. Am I saying that the Horns are going to win the Big 12 in football and basketball next year? No.
But you can feel the productive rise.
Yeah.
Already coming through. Like the haze of Herman is what I've called it. Just the staleness funk is starting to come out of the city, and you're starting to get the new blood is starting to come in.
Yes.
And it feels good. It feels refreshing. It
feels very good. And we were just talking about it off break, like how much fun this year is going to be.
That's the
because
word.
Fun. We have meaningful football, basketball, and obviously what we're doing in baseball. Like, every sport is playing for something. And there was one point in time that we couldn't say that.
I don't think we're delusional to think that the game is changing to where you have to take a different approach in terms of recruitment, to where you have to – you said the word perfectly. It's fun, right? It felt with Herman, it felt like it was a very militaristic – type of regime, type of philosophy. If you did not feel that, then I don't know, I guess I am delusional, because being from, you know, the Marine Corps and understanding how the military operates and hearing Herman's coach talk and what he was saying and the programs and the rules that he was instilling there, making, you know, the entire team suffer, or not even the entire team. Basically, he had NCOs. Basically, he had captains that didn't have accountability, where he was holding others accountable. That doesn't work. That's not you're forcing your teammates to hate each other. If you're going to have peer versus peer accountability, it's got to be equality for all, not just, you know,
yeah,
superstar individuals, man. I'm sorry,
those
it doesn't work like that.
Paul Bear Bryant days are over.
They are. They're done.
Can't do that no more.
I mean, I'm a fan of Hard Love. I am a fan of Hard Love. I believe it works, but leadership consists of knowing more than just one style of leadership. Like, you have to, we talk about this from time to time, you have to know how to motivate players differently. Like, there's some players that get up a lot differently than others.
Oh yeah, that's I think that's one of the most important things with coaching, that a lot of coaches who probably can't deal with, because they come in with this, oh, it's my way or the highway mentality, and then they got certain guys that might be from a tougher upbringing, to where you could talk to them a little rowdy. You know, you could get in their face a little bit, while there's some guys that might be a little softer, not necessarily to where, you know, he's a soft kid, but to where if you bark at him, they might not respond like the other guy does. And if coaches don't, you know, get, like, your whole staff has to get that. And that's
even
what
Saban has said that.
Yeah. And that's the thing with hiring your staff. You have to know that I'm hiring one coach, my offensive line coach might be a complete hard ass, while my wide receiver coach might be as cool as it gets. Doesn't yell at all, just smooth talking, but both of them might know how to get to their players differently and make them tick. And that's just what coaching is all about. Like, that's just
having a pulse on your players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just some of the best coaching. Like, that's what you got to do.
Hard love doesn't work. Saban says hi. No, we just said that. Hard love does work. Saban does acquiesce, and he also just says that Saban has mentioned before that you have to be able to approach different players differently. I mean, sometimes you can't just be, you know, the hard ass that's going to make them, you know, do up downs until they puke.
I don't see no Saban hard love working when they're in his pool swimming. I don't see him yelling then where he's over there barbecuing and stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about, though. That's adapting. That's understanding that, hey, I'm yelling at y'all on the field all the time. You know what? How about the whole team come to my big-ass mansion, and I'm going to cook for everybody.
Is that his mansion?
Yeah, you know it is. And I'm going to cook for everybody, and let's go swimming, and I'm going to show y'all a different side of me. Yo, y'all take the go-karts around, like... That's the adapting that you have to do.
I mean, what was it, the these nuts jokes that he used to pull on
his Twitter? Yeah, like saying these nuts jokes, like just joking with the guys. Like he understands that, hey, he's not like that all of the time. You know what I'm saying? Like people think that we're just talking strictly about being on the field. And even on the field, he's not like that all the time, where he's with his damn sun hat walking around, giggling
Panama
and
Jack
stuff.
Hat.
Yeah, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's stuff that we don't see, and there's stuff that we do see. And at the end of the day, what's it called? You got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to understand different players in different ways. And Nick Saban's probably one of the best at doing that 100. Over the years. And we clearly saw that because he couldn't do it in the NFL level.
No, you're right. I mean, some coaches struggle when you get up to the professional level, then you got to take a step back.
And why was that? Why do you struggle when you get to the NFL as a college coach?
Because you are too caught up into your own program. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and that teaching, like you, instead of becoming a teacher, now you're talking to these guys more as peers because they're grown men too,
yeah.
With family. Man. So you got to come at them differently.
Another texter chimes in and says, this is all true, but literally the same convos were being had when Herman replaced Strong. Herman was killing it recruiting for the first couple of years. Rightfully so. Granted, that's what I was saying in the first portion of this segment. Like I said, I was a little bit reluctant when Sarkisian came in because I don't like taking, you know, a certainty for an uncertainty and removing it. I just think you go into a form of regression. Herman killed it, not because it was Herman killing it. Herman killed it because we have a blue-collar program. Like, we're Texas. You know, how are you not going to kill it in recruiting? You know, Herman had the top five. Herman had, you know, great recruiting classes the entire time. He just couldn't grow the athletes. That's what we were talking about. So I don't know if we're being delusional about it. I feel like I'm being real. I feel like there is a good positive error, a good positive sunshine coming in and removing the Herman fog. I'm not saying that Herman was that bad. I'm just saying I don't think he adapted to how Sarkisian is adapting. Now, we haven't even seen Sarkisian in a first year yet, right? We have not even seen that. But to me, I think you're setting yourself up for failure if you're bringing your program in here and trying to adapt your personnel to your program and not your program to your personnel.
Yeah, there's always going to be those guys out there that can't wait to say, I told you so. And this first year, this first year is not really going to tell us much, to be honest, because the first year is always hard for a new coach coming in because – one, like you said, Wags, these aren't his guys, so he's going to have to adjust to them. Hopefully he does. And obviously there's enough talent to do so and be good, but I'm not picking this team to win the Big 12.
Well, we always like, do. We always.
I know like people think we have to, but it wouldn't be realistic
do
that. It just wouldn't. Now, the year after, will we have more expectations? Yes. And then the year after that? Yeah, we will. But... again, when you come from
you see the overhype all the time with Texas.
Yeah, we see it. I get it. And I get the Herman thing coming after Strong, but it is different. It is. Like coming from Alabama with how much, you know, responsibility that he had at Alabama. And then we saw with Herman here, again, we thought it was going to be good, but clearly it wasn't due to his pride.
Would people rather he struggle in recruiting early? That comes from Texter Matt. We'll take your thoughts on the other side and get back to that question. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com. And on Twitch, reminder, fantasy football is getting ready to kick off again. Dynasty leagues, they're already cracking. And if you're not involved in daily fantasy sports with NBA, with these NBA playoffs, then you're missing out on a chance to win some decent money. Wagnermeyer tip of the week told you to take Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Also told you to get that value play with both the six-man runner-up and the six-man champion, Clarkson and Ingles. And if you have done that, you have at least taken home, and I say at least because I'm just going off of my numbers. If you have done that and played just a minimum of $3 bets, you've taken home around $700 this week. Just saying. You might want to be listening to these tips of the week.
I would.
All right. We'll welcome some more comments from the Specs text line real quick before we get into some NBA playoff talk. Just the last few minutes, unfortunately. Oh, okay, never mind. A lot of people were chiming in from that last segment talking about we were talking a lot about the Sarkisian and just his bringing his I don't want to call it hype because he's definitely proven. Like, the guy knows his stuff. You know, in terms of quarterback whispering, he's right up there with Lincoln Riley. He knows how to get the job done. He's got a really good system.
I think he has a little bit more to prove. A little bit. I wouldn't put him.
So you think he was riding coattails a little bit?
I mean, Nick Saban.
Sure.
That's just
product of the system.
In a way.
Okay.
But that's what so good about him is that
right.
He came from.
He's coming from a winning system.
From
the
a
winningest
system,
program.
And he had as much responsibility as he did, which is how we want him to turn into that Lincoln Riley type. Hell yeah. I'm with that.
Right. So we were. Last thing we were talking about Sarkisian bringing the, for lack of better terms, Alabama hype and positivity to the positivity of that winning program to Austin, Texas. And I thought it was a pretty good segment. A lot of people chimed in. Go back and listen to that on the podcast. You can find that on the Horn SoundCloud page. That'll be up here in just a little bit after we finish this top of this hour. Sammy will get that rocking and rolling. Let's get into the NBA playoffs. Okay, rocking and rolling. Phoenix Suns, 3-0. This thing, hey, Suns in four,
like homeboy beating the hell out of my man in a Jamal Murray jersey.
Can we point out something, too? The dude in the Jamal Murray jersey had the high ground.
Yeah, he was weak.
How do you lose that battle?
Well, okay, so he did the old sucker punch like you see in the movie where the bad guy is always like talking to the main character and the bad guy, you know, they're talking and the bad guy's like, huh, all right. And then he looks away like he's talking to somebody else. And then he tries to come in with the smooth right hand. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Usually it doesn't work.
The video clip edits that clip out. They're editing it to where it's just the Suns and Four dude coming after homeboy just being the aggressor. They're not showing the full
video.
They're
not showing it. Find the full video. It's out there.
Homeboy tried to sucker punch him. That's why Suns and Four came after him.
Yeah.
We're just calling that dude Suns and Four.
We're
just
calling him Suns and Four. And wow, man, that was a brutal beatdown. Like that was a brutal. And homeboy
that looked
like
a hockey beatdown.
Yeah.
Homeboy had him, grabbed his jersey, and just started uppercutting.
Get your boy. He said something like, get your boy. Suns in four.
As he's beating him down, he's talking smack to the other dude.
That's
look
tough.
At what I'm doing to your guy right here.
Now, with the way the NBA with the way the NBA has been with fans acting nuts, we saw in the first round, popcorn thrown on Russell Westbrook, Trae Young got spat on in New York, et cetera, et cetera. John Morant's family was, you know, called any, you know, names, different types of names at Utah. But this guy, he might be banned from the Nuggets arena, but if I'm Phoenix, yo, bro, you got a discount. Absolutely. For the rest of your life.
You want front court seats?
You want front court seats? You want Drake seats? You want Drake seats, bro?
You got to down a beer and go find somebody, beat them up, and say sons of four.
See, now I'm not promoting violence like you.
I'm an American now.
I love a good, you know, squabble, but like Lamar Odom being the hell out of Aaron Carter, but I don't think it'll be appropriate to get this guy Liddy and have him go fight people. I think he does deserve
a discount. Sons in four.
So sad. So sad. And homeboy covered his face up. Like, after he took that ass whooping, like, we didn't see his face after, so we don't know how bad it went.
All right, people are asking on the text line, they're asking for us to tweet it out. So I'm going to tweet this to the Horn page, and then Sam, can you retweet it? Okay.
What we put on our Horn page, man. Our bosses are going to be like, guys, what are we doing on Sundays?
Sons in four. I'm going to put it in there.
We're talking about it.
Sons in four, hashtag. Oh, my God, that's great.
Oh, yeah, I've seen people get their ass whooped, but, man.
That was brutal.
That was tough. That was tough. Moving on to the game last night with the Clippers and the Utah Jazz. The Clippers have now won a game, so the series is now 2-1. Still Utah, game four tomorrow. And finally, Paul George really stepped up and started hooping. And this Paul George-Joe Ingles rivalry is very interesting because Joe Ingles, as
he don't mess around. He's Australian, bro. He don't mess around.
And they're so skilled, man. Those Australian cats.
Steve Adams, he's not exactly. He's New Zealand, so he's even more wild.
Yeah, but like Patty Mills and Ben Simmons,
they'll throw bows quick.
If those guys went to the Olympics, they would have a shot, especially this year, because I don't think the USA is going to get any superstars. But, yeah, Paul George, man, he was cooking last night, 33 points. And when Paul George is cooking, Wags, you'd like this. He reminds me of T-Mac when he's cooking offensively.
Yeah.
You know, just how smooth he is and how
on that elbow, yeah.
Look. Yeah, he's a smooth cat when he's cooking. But the thing with PG, it's always been his consistency. And people forget, man, the man has literally broken his foot out the bone. Like, we talked about, you know,
mental health drink up.
Yeah, mental health drink up. And how certain guys in the NBA, like a Kristaps Porzingis, we just haven't really seen him like his old New York Knicks self, and that might be due to the injuries. But Paul George, he has been as close to, you know, being a superstar S or really good two to Kawhi's one that we've seen coming back from an injury like that.
I would say 1A, 1B, bro. I'd say
Kawhi's on another level.
Yeah.
I think Kawhi. I wouldn't start my team around Paul George. I would start it around Kawhi.
I would start it around Kawhi, but I don't think I can call Paul George a two. I think he's a one on any other team.
Oh, okay. I get that. Okay. Yeah. I'd call him a one. He wouldn't be a one on a championship team. He would be on a one on a team that would make the playoffs.
Right. On a playoff team, he's a one.
But I don't think he could be a one on a championship team. But again, when he's cooking, he's as good as he gets.
One of the best two-way forwards out there. Dude, yeah. You can't mess with him, man.
And I like Kawhi guarding Donovan Mitchell, which we got to watch for Donovan Mitchell. He hurt his ankle last night, the ankle that.
I think he's going to roll in game four.
I know, but still, like, obviously a lot of guys aren't 100% come playoff time.
More minutes for Clarkson.
Yeah, they already don't have Mike Conley, which I think that's going to come by them in the long run. Like, they need Mike Conley if they want to, you know, hoist that trophy up and, you know, bring any type of championship to Utah because they haven't had one. And that one guy on the four-letter network, that black guy that got paid a lot of money that just yells a lot, the fact that he said that Donovan Mitchell is the best Utah Jazz player ever, yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry.
Over Karl Malone? I mean, I'm not a fan of Karl Malone. But
neither am I. But
you're
going to
say he's better than the mailman?
I'm a fan of John Stockton.
Yeah, I like John Stockton.
John Stockton
was a dirty game. He's
dirty as hell.
Dirty, dirty, dirty people over there in Jazz. You got to be.
What was that movie he did?
Oh, yeah. All right. So, okay. John Stockton was notorious for dribbling the damn ball and going into the paint and acting like he couldn't find his pass, like acting like he couldn't find the dude that he was going to dish it to, right? So he would take his leg out because people thought that he was old school like that and that he was just using fundamentals.
He was old school. He was using shorts,
fundamentals and mechanics while he's dribbling the ball, keeping the dribble, right? Why in the hell are you pivoting? Why are you pivoting when you
gotta see the full court?
No. It's called the trip move, bro. He's dribbling. Pivot kick. Pivot kick. Pivot kick.
Pivot kick.
That's what he was doing the entire time.
He was
creating space, and it worked. It was efficient.
There's certain things that you do in the NBA, and at his stature.
Finessing your game.
Right, and at his stature, the man looks like your Uncle Lou that's out there that fishes every weekend. Like, he doesn't look like an NBA
Uncle
player.
Kirk.
Yeah, your Uncle Kirk. That's how he looks. John Stockton looks like your Uncle Kirk that's out there fishing and barbecuing every summer, that wears the ridiculous, like, Nikes that all old white men wear, and he doesn't look like a guy that went toe-to-toe with Michael Jordan. He just doesn't. But the man...
He sure as hell did.
All-time assist leader, all-time steals leader. Come on.
You can't say that. Yeah, you can't
come
say
on,
that.
Come on, brother.
That is living in the moment. That is prisoner of the moment.
But it's okay. It's all right.
Who you like tonight?
Well, I do like the bodyguard that got in between PJ Tucker and Kevin Durant.
He's banned. He's not allowed to be there. What the hell was that about, dude?
They said he was a Nets bodyguard, so in a way he was doing his job, but you got to know your situation.
It looked like KD's entourage is what it looked like.
Yeah, it looked a little bit like KD's posse. I know NBA players don't like posse. They don't like that word.
You're not allowed to use that?
Yeah, but
I like the Nets tonight, or today rather.
Yeah, I like the Nets. Like, Kevin Durant dropped 30 on 28 shots. Like, he'll never shoot that bad again. And you got Budenholzer. You're fighting for your job, bruh.
He knows it.
Tell Giannis, stop shooting threes. Stop it.
At this point, is Middleton your basic number one for threes right now? I mean,
you got a lot of guys like Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Like, Drew Holiday and Giannis should be in way more pick and rolls.
The two-man game. Yeah, they're not playing that two-man game at all.
And one thing that's weird, no one sets screens for Giannis. Like, KD has more screens set for him than anybody on the Nets. And it's always from guards, like Brown. Brown sets screens the whole entire game because Brown is being guarded by Brooke Lopez, so they're trying to get the mismatches. Giannis is going one-on-one with Blake Griffin at the top of the key all the time. Get some movement. Have Drew Holiday go set a screen on him. Make Kyrie play defense more. It seems like Budenholzer, when he gets to the playoffs, it's just like he doesn't know what to do in certain situations.
Too big
of
a moment?
Yeah. It's like he just thinks, you know what? We're just going to rely on our talent, and those guys are going to get us over the hump. Hell to the nah, bruh. Make adjustments. See what this team is doing to hurt you, and try to fix it.
Yeah.
That's what coaching is. Like, how are they dominating us? Okay, let's see if we could change certain things.
You guys are good enough to just go out there and win on your own.
Like, come on, bro. Like, it's sad because I think it takes away from Giannis's legacy, which, again, we compare him to Lamar Jackson all the time, even though Lamar Jackson's only 23. So that's not the best comparison. Lamar Jackson has with the way he plays, he might have 10 years left, barely. I think Lamar Jackson's going to have to adjust, though, just like Giannis
Slow
is going to
have
to adjust. But at the end of the day, until they adjust, you got to put them in situations to where they're going to succeed. So Giannis, get in the post more. Don't shoot the fadeaway. Attack the rim. Make them stop you, and then when they do, we could kick it out. But you got to mix it up more, and if you don't, then the Nets are just going to take the next two games, and it will be a very, very disappointing series where it could have been a special one.
Brooklyn's favored to buy a basket by 2 points, but I kind of like them a little bit better tonight. Even though they're up in Milwaukee, still with only getting a basket just a basket lead or a basket buy on the game is still good enough for me. Hell, I think you buy that. I think you're good enough for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
My God, I think you're good enough for at least 8. I don't know. It depends on if they dribble it out or not, or if they go down to free throw shooting tonight. I don't know if I want to take the over or not. I'm feeling like it's an under game tonight.
What?
I'll take Nets in the under, and then I'll take the Suns. Over-under is 228 on that Nets game. I'm going to take the under on that, and then I'll take the over in the Suns game. I'll take the Suns, and I'll take the over as well.
Yeah, I got Suns tonight, too. One more thing. I know we got to go to break real quick, Sammy. Rudy Gobert just got his third Defensive Player of the Year award. Go ahead.
Sorry. Do you think it should have gone to somebody else?
100%.
Right. I think we just kind of give it to Rudy Gobert these days.
Now,
he did not. I'm not taking anything away from his season, but
yeah, he had an unbelievable defensive season. Like in the last 25 years, he had the best defensive plus minus of anybody.
But take Ben Simmons off of Philadelphia, and you tell me what happens to Philadelphia. Now I know Embiid is the guy, right? But you take Ben Simmons off Philadelphia and tell me how defensively, dominant they are without Ben Simmons.
Oh, we saw it last year in the playoffs when they got swept by the Celtics.
One, exactly where I was going. They're not.
Like they didn't have anybody to put on Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. And, you know, yes.
Did he get snubbed because of Doc, though?
No, he got snubbed because of Rudy Gobert having the best defensive plus minus in the last 25 years. Like, you had to give it to him just because of that. But I think we have to start appreciating guys who could guard multiple positions and guys who guard the best player. Like Rudy
That's
Gobert.
That's your assignment, exactly.
Yeah, like Rudy Gobert, you're guarding like Zubac and like Morris and stuff and like Nicholas Batum. Like, that's cool and all, but you're not guarding Kawhi. You're not guarding Paul George. I don't think this is going to happen, but if the Sixers were to play the Clippers in the finals, guess who's guarding Kawhi Leonard? Ben Simmons. Like, that's just what it is.
When Kawhi's off the floor, guess who's guarding Paul George?
Ben Simmons. Like, he's guarding Trae Young right now. Trae Young is barely 6 foot. Like, you know how tough that is for a 6'10 guy to do that? And he's doing a pretty good job. You know, so I think Ben Simmons definitely got hosed. And like I was going to say, with this third Defensive Player of the Year for Rudy Gobert, that puts him in Hall of Fame category, which I can't see Rudy Gobert as a Hall of Famer at all. But if you look at the other three guys who have won three Defensive Player of the Years, Dikembe Mutombo, Dwight Howard, Ben Wallace, all those guys are going to go to Springdale.
What if
our
Jazz?
Is it Springdale or Springfield?
I think it's Springfield.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
What if the Jazz get their championship ring? Does your.
Yeah, you got to give it. Yeah. He's in.
Then he's in.
Right? I mean, he's already in.
Just doesn't have hardware.
If you look at the numbers, shout out to Joe. If you check out the numbers, because that's where we're all about that, Sammy. Are we all about that?
We're all about the numbers.
So, yeah, that says that he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
We'll be right. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9 The Horn. I'm kicking a brand new flavor in your air. Max,
brand new flavor in your air. Ha! Now, back to the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire. Last call. All right, Rodney Rodriguez firing off revved up. Rodney Rodriguez there, revved up ATX. Says All-Star Race at Texas Motor Speedway Wags tonight. Lay all your money on Kyle Larson, my man. All right.
What up, Rodney?
Yeah, if there's, you know, usually I go with Taco and Rodney in terms of all my left-hand turns that I need to know. These two are some of the best in the business to do it. Taco does it for the DFS Army House, and then Rodney does it right here at our own Horn Studio here. So best in the business. Definitely in Austin, Texas, Rodney Rodriguez there. Make sure you're tuning into Revved Up ATX for all your sports show, your Sunday racing show. He does more than just NASCAR. Does IndyCar, does truck racing, all kinds of stuff, man. Get yourself some Rodney and Bobby Chaffee in your life. Those two guys will tell you everything that you need to know on racing. Take all the money that you have right now and put it on Kyle Larson. That's what Rodney Rodriguez is saying. So
if you do that and lose, it's all on Rodney, not me. There you go, man. All right, it's good stuff, man. Any last save rounds that you want to get off? Anything for NBA playoffs that we got to get to?
No, nothing for NBA playoffs. I am watching Longhorn Network right now, and they're playing this old school NBA, or not NBA, sorry, Texas basketball game in the DJ Augustine, AJ Abrams era. This team was so small, Wags. Like, DJ Augustine and AJ Abrams, I don't even think touch over 6 feet, and they're both starting together. Justin Mason was their three. He was a smooth 6'4". And then, like, Damian James and Gary Johnson were a buck over 6'7".
Look at these uniforms.
This team was super small.
You're swimming in these uniforms, by the way.
Yeah, but AJ Abrams and DJ Augustine, man, they were as tough as it got.
All right, who you like tonight? I'm taking Suns, and yeah. I'm taking Nets.
Yeah, Suns and four, like homeboy. And, yeah, Nets. God, it's Budenholzer, man.
Like, he'll be out of a job after this.
Yeah, that'll make me feel better.
He gone. He gone.
Like, I know people say I don't like when people get fired, but when you're making millions and you're getting fired, I like it.
Yeah, I mean,
I like it a lot more.
You know, make sure you guys get out to the dish. If you guys don't have a ticket, I don't think you're going to be able to get there, but I don't know what the rules are. Are you allowed to just roll up to Occupy left field and chill?
I know some people scalping. There's people at this station that I know that were trying to do that. Yeah, you know who you are.
Yeah.
You know who you are, my guy. You're my dude that's doing it.
Help someone out. I'd like to get out and see the game too, though. I'd like to get out there. Parking? You need parking pass to get out there? Can you just stroll on up?
I'm not trying to
parking pass.
I don't want to see a game tomorrow, but if there were to be a game tomorrow.
Won't need to be a game tomorrow. Longhorn's going to take care of business tonight.
Look at you,
Tristan Stevenson. I'm trying to be. Tristan Stevenson on the bump going up against Colin Sullivan. Make sure you get out there. First pitch is around 8 o'clock. That's when it's scheduled to be thrown out there at the dish. Super Regional, one win away, baby. One win away, and we're going to Omaha for the 37th time in program history. Best program in the – hey, it's a baseball school. It's a baseball school.
Like 2 months ago, you said basketball school.
Guess what? It's basketball school.
3 months from now, we're saying
it's a football school. It's a swimming school. It's a tennis school. It's a great damn school. Just come here.
Rowing.
Did we already say swimming?
Yeah.
Did we say tennis?
Softball.
Golf. It's a golf school.
Softball
school. 10-second school. We'll see you, school. Hey, man, another great show.
Shout out to track.
Track school. Definitely a track school. All right, it's the Wagner Wire. Don't go anywhere. Enjoy the ride.